fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Oh, baby! They can't block Calais Campbell.
Steps up, throws left side end zone. Roberts caught it!
No way!
Touchdown, Cardinals!
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Darren Urban.
Well, here we are, another edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com. I'm Darren Urban alongside Ron Wolfley, talking a little bit about the Rams game, Wolf, and obviously a very difficult loss to start the season. You have an 11-point lead going into the fourth quarter. To see it slip away, I mean, in my eyes, when Larry pulled down that second touchdown catch, it just looked like this team was in a great position to come out without win, and they just couldn't hang on.
You know, I think the biggest disappointment, as you said, it was a 11-point lead in the fourth quarter. You know, the defense in this game, it's hard to figure it out because the defense really did so many positive things. First of all, they kept the Rams under 3 yards a carry. I think that was impressive right there. And they did great on sudden change. The Rams got the ball twice deep in Cardinal territory, once inside the 5-yard line on the 4 and another time at the 22-yard line. And they only allowed 6 points, 2 field goals.
Yep.
They did not give up a touchdown. Sudden change, they did so well. And then I think also, when you talk about the 2 takeaways that they generated, that was a 14-point swing overall in this game. Tyrann Mathieu just doing what we've grown accustomed to seeing him do, even though he's been here at such a short period of time.
Right.
He's still out there making plays, stripping Jared Cook. That was a huge play early on in this game. And then to see Dan Williams, Dumpster Dan, the most unlikely of characters when you talk about a pick six. Matt Shaughnessy batting the ball in the air, and suddenly there's Dumpster Dan grabbing the ball, and there was no way in the world the Rams were going to keep him out of the end zone. He gets the ball in his hands inside the 5. You're done. I think we could say that with certitude. They did so many good things, and yet the fact remains, and it hangs in the air, does it not? You had an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, and the defense couldn't hold on. How do you evaluate that?
It's really difficult. I know there was that one sequence, and the Rams were in the middle of their last touchdown drive when the fourth quarter started. So they already had the ball, and it advanced it a little bit. But, you know, Fitzgerald caught a second touchdown. You get the 24-13 lead. You would love for your defense to get the hold right on the possession right after it. It reminds me of like having a big inning in baseball and wanting your pitcher to come out and shut them right
absolutely
down. And that was just a killer.
You know what really too bothers me about that possession? The fact that it was 8 plays, and as you said, it was right at the end of the third quarter. I think 4 plays and then 4 plays at the beginning of the fourth quarter before they scored. It was 8 plays and went 80 yards the length of the field. It's so difficult to do that. I don't care who you are on the National Football League. Percentages aren't good when you take the ball first and 10 on your own 20 and say that you are going to march it down and score a touchdown. 8 plays, 80 yards, and the worst thing about that was not once were the Rams put in a third down. And the Rams had a hard time on third down, did not convert, a 36% conversion rate for the Rams last Sunday. So the fact you couldn't even get him into that third down on that possession, I think that was really disappointing.
Well, we're going to circle back to that in a minute, but some of the things we could take out of this game that were really good, and it's got to start with a quarterback, Wolf.
Oh, I mean, big time.
Carson Palmer, I mean, we kept wondering, okay, what does he have? And Steve Keim and Bruce Arians kept saying, look, this guy has got a lot left. He's going to be the real deal, and he's going to fit really good in this offense. And he really did. He made the one bad read on the interception. At least that's what Bruce Arians said. He made a bad read on the interception, but he threw 2 beautiful touchdown passes to Fitzgerald. Both of them had great touch, and he found his receivers. And, you know, this team doesn't have a whole lot of 300-yard passing days, or hasn't the last couple of years, and he came out and did that, and he just looked so comfortable. You had this confidence when they went to the line, even if the crowd was screaming that he was going to be doing the right things and making the right choices.
You know what, D, there's so many things we can talk about the execution with Carson Palmer, and we definitely will do that. But to me, it was the context in which he was competing in. Try to remember, the first possession, Levi Brown allowed two sacks to Robert Quinn on the very first possession. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a human being, and I know if I'm playing quarterback.
I'm a human being, too.
And I'm throwing the ball with my right arm. The blind side is that left tackle, as we all know. And you get your back waxed twice on the very first possession. And yet that entire game, though he was under pressure, he performed very, very well. It was that I looked at and said to myself, my goodness, this guy is an NFL quarterback. We've all known that. We've looked at Carson Palmer, watched him play over the 11 seasons. We know that he's not a Pro Bowler maybe. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer. Yet at the same time, we can say with certitude that Carson Palmer is an NFL quarterback, and he proved it based on the context in which he performed in last Sunday against the Rams.
Well, that leads us into the pass protection, which was definitely had holes in it at times. I mean, it held up enough that they threw for 327 yards.
Absolutely.
And two touchdowns, so we don't want to take away, but the fact that Robert Quinn had three sacks, the fact that he beat Levi Brown one-on-one on all three of those sacks, you know, and Bruce Arians did say that there's supposed to be chips on a couple of them that didn't happen, which is one of those things that's a talk about context. You need to know about those things when you're ready to lower the boom on Levi Brown, which many people are right now. But as of right now, Bruce Arians is saying, look, Levi Brown's my left tackle. There isn't another left tackle right now. We're going to work on what he did wrong, and we're going to move forward. I know that's tough for some people to hear, but that's what's going to happen with this team.
Yeah, you know, and again, look, I know what it's like to go out there and compete and for it to not be good enough. Believe me. I know what that is like, and it certainly isn't a lack of effort on Levi Brown's part. And yet at the same time, this is big boy football. This is mercenary football in the biggest mercenary league on the face of the planet. You cannot allow your left tackle to go out there and give up three sacks, three quarterback hits, and two forced fumbles. That's the kind of thing that you just can't have. And I know Levi Brown would be the first one to tell you, you can't have that kind of production at that position. It's the reason why I say after the quarterback, the most important position on your team in the National Football League in the year of our Lord, 2013, is your left tackle. He impacts the game that much. You can have the best game plan in the world, D. Schematically, you can have the best play you could possibly call against a certain defense. You could have the very look that you have planned on and plotted all week long, and you think you got it, and the receiver suddenly is wide open. You execute the play perfectly, and then your left tackle gets beat. It impacts game plans and how you call a game as well. If you're a play caller, like Bruce Arians obviously is for this team, you have to suddenly start calling plays through the prism of whether or not that left tackle will hold up.
And he admitted that he didn't call a couple plays because of the protection issues.
That's difficult. And again, I just want to make this clear. I mean, Levi Brown is out there, and Levi Brown is trying. I can tell when a player's dogging it, when a player doesn't care, and when a player does care, and when he's trying. I think most of us can watch the film, and we can see that. I just think he was up against it with Robert Quinn. Can he get better? Hopefully he can. But if he doesn't, the Cardinals are going to face this problem all year long. And I just want to make one more point. It's one of the reasons why guards, although Jonathan Cooper is an excellent exception, he's an excellent exception to the rule because you believe Jonathan Cooper is going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, a guy that is going to be your starting left guard for the next decade, a guy that eventually, who knows where he may end up, but he's a once-a-decade type guard, I think, and that's got to be proven down the road, okay? I don't want to crown the guy just yet, right? Denny Green, don't want to crown him just yet. Yet at the same time, it's the reason why there is a premium on tackles in the National Football League, and one of the reasons why you'll see a Lane Johnson shoot up the draft board and suddenly he's gone within the first five picks. It's because they impact games. More times than not, generally speaking, tackles will impact games always 10 times more than guards will impact a game.
Well, we're talking about getting to the quarterback, talking about putting on that pressure. We flip to the other side of the ball, and especially when you talk about coming into this game with the Lions this weekend, you know, the Lions do like to throw the ball. We were talking a little bit beforehand. They might want a little bit more balance now that they got Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush had an excellent first game, 101 yards receiving, 90 yards rushing. Was one of those games where everybody was thinking maybe Reggie Bush could give you when he first got into this league. But clearly the Lions start with Matthew Stafford throwing the ball, and they start with Calvin Johnson, who didn't have a big game against Minnesota in their first game of the year, which was a win. Patrick Peterson's been waiting for this matchup since the schedule came out, but can the Cardinals get the kind of pressure on Matthew Stafford that they're going to need to slow that down?
Well, I would say this. The one weakness, if there is a weakness on that Detroit Lions offense, the one weakness would be their offensive line. That's where they do have some question marks. I think the Lions are going to try to be more balanced. You know, when you stop and think about the quintessential passing team in the NFL over the last couple of seasons, I think you'd have to start with the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford. And it's for good cause. They do. They have Nate Burleson as well. Reggie Bush is a massive weapon. You mentioned Calvin Johnson. Brandon Pettigrew. Here's a guy that, yeah, he's had some drops, some notable drops, some fumbles as well. And at the same time, anytime out of the tight end position, you get almost 60 receptions for almost 600 yards, you're getting some production there. They can throw the ball with the best of them in this league. And to me, it all starts with getting pressure, and that's a thing you worry about coming into this game, realizing that you only had five quarterback pressures, quarterback hurries against the Rams, and even though they have a very experienced offensive line, it's not like they have a juggernaut offensive line. And yeah, we didn't blitz maybe as much as Todd Bowles would have liked or maybe had game planned, yet at the same time, we rush four a lot of the time and didn't get very much pressure on Sam Bradford.
Well, and that's the big thing. I keep thinking back to the Rams game, and there were just too many times where some of these short passes were guys crossing the middle of the field. And we can talk about coverage, and you know, there was one play in particular I'm thinking of. Carlos Dansby just wasn't quick enough to stay with Cook. But it's going to be tough for anybody covering, even Patrick Peterson, to do it for an extended period of time if the quarterback can sit down there and wait for that receiver to clear whatever he needs to clear and get open. And I think that's going to be a big deal. And obviously, Wolf, you've got to be able to win this game. I mean, if you've got hopes, you don't want to be in an 0-2 hole. You don't want a team coming cross-country and beating you in your stadium and facing an 0-2 start, especially with two road games coming up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You definitely don't want that, and especially that first road game being Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints in the Big Easy. Can't wait for the gumbo, though. But still, you know, you bring up Patrick Peterson, and that to me, look, Patrick Peterson and Calvin Johnson – that is the matchup du jour, isn't it? That is going to be one of the best matchups, one of the top five matchups, I think. And week two in the National Football League is going to be Patrick Peterson. And I believe that he will be tied to Calvin Johnson wherever Calvin Johnson goes.
Now, agreed. Yeah.
We have seen this before in the past. As a matter of fact, I would say that part of the maturation of Patrick Peterson, the true development, I think it started when he wanted that matchup. If you remember a couple of years back, Patrick Peterson, when he was a rookie, I believe, he wanted that matchup one-on-one against Megatron.
Well, it's funny for me a little bit, Wolf, to think that it was the Lions that the Cardinals got their one win against down the stretch last year, and the Lions came to University of Phoenix Stadium with a lot of these same players, and the Cardinals beat them up pretty good. So I'll be interested to see how this comes out. Obviously, like you said, or the Lions already won, so we'll see how this kind of
turns. Here's the one dynamic of the Detroit Lions that I really worry about, and that is their ability, obviously, to throw the ball and their ability to dump the ball off to a guy like Reggie Bush. And then we all know what Reggie Bush can do after he gets the ball in his hands. And tackling was an issue.
Big issue.
Last week for the Cardinals against the Rams. Look, let me tell you, Darrell Richardson, you thought it was maybe difficult to tackle him. And he's quick now, don't get me wrong. Reggie Bush is completely a whole different animal here. And I think the Cardinals have really got to work at their tackling this week and be a much better tackling team, because if the Lions can get a lead in this game and suddenly you become one-dimensional offensively, you're talking about two of the best interior pass rushers maybe in the National Football League in Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. And we all know, again, the offensive line for the Cardinals is improved, yet at the same time, you know, they've got to prove an awful lot. And that's a matchup that I don't want to see happen. The combination of the Lions getting up quickly, throwing the ball, getting a two-possession lead, and suddenly you're one-dimensional. And that offensive line is faced with having to stop or block that pass rush.
Well, Sue is going to play. There was some question whether he was going to get suspended this week after a hit he had in the Vikings game, but he's only going to get fined. He will be out there. So I guess it's going to be another tall order for the offensive line, and we'll find out how that goes. So I appreciate you coming by, Ron.
Absolutely.
Wolfley. This is Darren Urban for Ron Wolfley. This has been another edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com.